great job with worship tape. That was really awesome. Shame, my man. Thanks for all the competitive sports you play with me, man. I really appreciate that. Cutting edge, day to day, week to week, against Shame. Bro, I love you so much. Every day I see you. It's awesome getting to work with you, Dave. I get to work with David at DigiKey. We lead together within management to continue that great optimistic guy. Love it. John, Justine, Sean, Abby, you guys, I'm so excited for your marriage. You guys are terrific, okay? I could say awesome things about all of you guys here today, and I'd love to just encourage you guys, because it's true. You guys are so beautiful, each one of you guys. And I appreciate the time we get to share together at Harvest, in and out of Harvest on a daily basis. I love you guys. As you know, that is what we are talking about today, is being encouraging, encourage one another. And I just want to tell you, I could talk to each one of you guys and sharing beautiful on the keys of voice. I could tell you guys so many different things, you know, how you've blessed my life, how much I love you, and to encourage you guys. And I just want you guys to feel that love and encouragement today right off the bat. Many people need encouragement or need reassurance. In fact, almost all of us need some kind of reassurance or some kind of encouragement, because we're made like that. I mean, who here loves encouragement or be reassured in the things that we do? Like, do you think I should buy that, or do you think I should do this? I mean, we normally love to have people, you know, reaffirm us in our decisions that we do. And as today's main scripture verse, you know, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So right off the bat, you know, these verses are saying, let us spur one another on. And I used to, I don't know how many years ago it's been, Jackie, that Jackie opened up business, JB Fitness. And I was kind of into fitness. You know, I like to work out a little bit. It was fun. I love taking care of myself. But it wasn't until I really worked out with Jackie, knew the full meaning of spurring one another on. So she comes right in. We used to work out up here a little bit, and we used to do different things, you know, in the groups that she had. But I always remember Jackie, and she'd have her Tabata going, and we'd have the station set up, and we'd go every 20 seconds. All right, come on, you can do it. Here we go. 20 seconds. Okay, you're doing it. Okay, go. Okay, I'll take a 10-second break. Get on over to the next station. Okay, 20 seconds. Here we go. Next 20 seconds. Hey, go harder. Go, come on. Keep going faster. And I just remember the difference that is compared to me in my gym. With my weights, pop down on my bench, or whatever workout I'm doing. It's all good, but I remember the encouraging feeling I got from the workouts. I mean, some of us have had a chance to work with Jackie. She's awesome. You should try out CycleFit JB Fitness. It's a great place to work out. But like, just in when we do that, we have encouraging friends that do that, encourage us to work out, or you know, but. It's different. It's really cool. I like that. And I remember doing that, and it did. It made me like, oh, yeah, I'm getting encouragement. I'm getting told to work harder. I want to do that, because we're getting told and being, you know, we can do it. You know, it's amazing how when someone spurs you on, it's amazing how much farther we can go. You know, I mean, look at the movie Facing the Giants. Has anybody seen that movie? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, well, I'll just paint out the scene, because you've got to see it, but I got to tell you. Okay, so football, it's a group of football guys. And one guy says, the story is kind of a long story, I'll shorten it. But basically, the coach says, how far do you think you can make it from the goal line to the other end with this guy on your back? I'll make it to 45 or 50. I can't remember what he said, but it, you know. And he's like, okay. And then he told him, okay, let's try it. Anyway, he did it. He said, but you got to give me all that you got. You got to give me everything you got from the moment you take off to the moment you get to the end. Oh, I'll give you everything. No, I mean it. I want you to give me everything that you got. Everything inside of you. Okay, fine. I'll give you everything I got. Because now he's pumped up. I'm going to give you everything I got. So he started him off at the goal line and said, okay, let's go. Let's go. He takes him all the way down. He's to the 20. Okay, come on. Come on, you got this. And he ends up getting about the 50 where he thought he was going to quit. He's like, okay now. I said, am I there yet, coach? Am I there yet? I don't care where you're at. You're going to give me 100% because I told you to give me 100%. He says, keep on going, keep on going. He encourages them all the way because his voice is there. And he's saying, you can do this. You keep on going. You don't give up on me. And he takes them all the way to the end zone. 100 yards of this guy on his back. He's bear crawling it. He's crawling all the way to the other end. It's because he spurred them on. And we can do the same thing. Spiritually, we can spur one another on. And he went all the way because he had someone that cared about him. That said to him, I care about how far you go. I care about your accomplishments because I love you like Christ loves you. And I see the value in you. And so he helped them all the way. Inspiring movie. And I was in tears in that movie. And I've cried to many movies you guys should see, but they're great. So anyway, so today we're gonna talk about a few things that, you know, I picked up the five love languages. Anybody hear that series before, the five love languages? It's a great book by Gary Chapman. Wonderful, wonderful man. He explains that not everyone's emotional needs are met in the same way. And we're all different, each one of us here today. And we react to those things, and we get fueled, and we feel loved. But I know our topic is encouragement, so I'm going to tie encouragement into that while we go today. But I want to pray, and then we'll get going into the study. Lord, I thank you so much for how much you encourage us, God, on a daily basis, how much you love us, what you do for us, the things day in and day out that you do for us that we don't even really know about. But Lord, you're there to help guide and lead us. Lord, may we reach out our hand and know that we can be encouraged today, just knowing that you love us, but also that there are others around us that also care about us, also love us, to help guide it and to encourage us through it. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't want to try and fly too quickly through these, but I'll try my best to get through all of them in a reasonable time. There are so many ways to encourage one another, as I've said. But the first one we're going to go through is words of affirmation. That is the first thing. You want to write that down in your bulletin, that is fine. And I told you about the story, and I already told you about the story of Jackie. That was such an encouraging thing, because it's just, you can do this. I believe you can do this. You know, push harder. You know, try harder. You know, just verbally, people encouraging you, words of affirmation, saying, you're doing a great job. You know, me coming in right away, I've told you guys what I said about Jordan music is amazing. I love David Cook at work, man. He's so awesome. I come fired up in his office. He's like, Luke the man, how's it going? It's encouraging. You know, Shane, like when he beats me, he doesn't make me feel terrible. He's like, yeah, man, good game, man. It's like, I just love that stuff. You know, it's encouraging. Words of affirmation, it's amazing how we can build each other up. It really is. Each and every day we have that opportunity to encourage each other. In Hebrews 3:13 it says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. So who do you have in your life right now? And think about this. Who do you have in your life that is really providing you optimistic feedback? Something that someone's giving you constructive, you know, feedback and saying, you know, you're doing a great job, you know? A lot of us maybe aren't getting that. And maybe you have the opportunity here today to do that for someone else. It can be someone at work. It can be someone here at church. It could be someone that you just met for the first time at a gas station. Anything. It's amazing what our words can do. They can build up. And what else can they do? They can tear down. And it's amazing what we do with the tongue. I've spoken on the tongue before, how it's just it's a fire. It's amazing. We can destroy, but we can build up as well. A few ways we can use our words is be specific when we offer words of praise. It makes your encouragement more credible and concrete. It's like this. Sean, you did a great job finishing up that project. I can tell my wife, honey, thank you so much for waking up with the kids and feeding them and clothing them today. Whew, Jordan, I was really impressed that you spoke so well at home group tonight on that topic. You can encourage them by specific things that they did. When I'm at work, and Dave knows this too, when we're at work at DigiKey, there's times where people come up and be like, hey, great job today. Oh, yeah, yeah, good job, great job. Well, they're like, well, what did I do? Great job doing what? They don't know. You say, if you tell them specific things, it really helps. It's like, great job getting that package down on time. That DHL, that shipment was going to miss, but thank you for running that down by hand. Boy, they're like, wow, I'm going to run it down by hand every night. It gets them pumped. We're people that love encouragement in a specific way. That is one way you can encourage people in a words of affirmation is when you're specific with your spouse. Like sometimes it's like, hey, honey, how you doing? I feel great. Well, that's good. And, you know, you kind of talk through things, and sometimes it's just whatever. But when we're specific, it really means a lot. It really does. My wife really loves this one, and we should all do this more often. when we introduce your spouse or someone else, maybe it's a brother or maybe it's your father, or maybe it's your mother or friend, it's amazing when we praise that person when we're introducing them. So it's like, hi, hey Dan, this is my wife, Jessie, and I wanted just to tell you that she, and just go off, just encourage her right there. We're introducing someone for the first time. My wife, we've been married for 7 years, who I love and adore, and we have three wonderful kids, and just praise and adore them and love them. Introduce them with love, and like, I care about being with you. Or if it's a friend, like my brother, we've been good friends, man. He's my brother, I love him so much, and you know, just praise people, encourage them. It's amazing what can happen with our words and how that can build people up and encourage them. All right, number two, we'll kind of keep going here. Number two is quality time. I love seeing you guys here today, and it shows me that you have I want to go to church today. You know, I want to see what God has to offer. Maybe you're coming here because you've got friends that are here. This is our church body. We're a part of a body. We're all here together today because for specific reasons. But if you're part of a church, Bible study, fellowship, and you're committed, you're being here, your presence encourages each other. Just us being here is encouraging to all of us to show that we're on the same track. We're all on a spiritual faith based, and we're not alone. We're a community that says, we want to know more about God. By us being here, it generates that positive, just the quality time we spend together. That alone is awesome. Back to our main verse in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as we see the day approaching. So it's just so awesome to get together. It's so awesome. I wear a shirt at DigiKey, you know, it's Bibles and Barbells, because I love the Word of God and I like to lift. But more importantly, on the back it says, iron sharpens iron, and we sharpen each other so much more than you think, you know, and we need to sharpen each other more than what we already are doing. It's amazing when we spend time together, that quality time together, building in one another's lives. It's such a great encouragement. I mean, how often do we feel alone at times in our lives? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever felt alone in your life? And I know there's plenty of times in the past I felt alone. God was there, but someone there to encourage me, fellowship, to have someone that says, I care about you, and let's spend some quality time together. Let's read the Bible together, or hey, let's check out this cool new movie called Courageous, you know, or quality time is huge. You know, when we separate ourselves from those that love us, it's amazing how quickly our flesh takes over and we want to start doing the wrong thing. It's amazing when we have quality time. That's such a great way to encourage one another. Quality time is a personal decision to make time to spend with each other. We've all heard the phrase, time is money. Money, you know, so I need to spend time. I've got credit card bills. I've got things I've got to pay for. I've got mouths to feed. I don't have time spending time with you. I just got to work. And maybe that's true. It might be true. You know, some of us might be in that place. But I encourage you to find somewhere in that busy schedule in all of our lives that we need to spend more quality time with those that we love, with those around us, those that have the same mindset. Like, I want to know God more. We should be spending quality time with those people to grow and to get more of God in our lives. It's what's going to encourage you. So what is holding us back from making quality time a priority? I just want to take just a few seconds, grab your bulletin or memorize it in your head or whip out your phone. Write down three things that's holding you back right now that you can think of. Like, what is it? Three things that are holding you back from spending quality time with your loved ones, or maybe it's just with friends or whoever, where you're distancing yourself. Find out what those three things are. Just take 10, 15 seconds, and we'll come back. You can actually take the test, this five love languages online or wherever, and you can actually find out what your love language is. It's kind of nice because I know what my wife's love language is now, so I know what I really have to focus on to make her feel loved. It's a cool thing as you're finishing up. Okay, as you're finishing up, we're just going to jump right into number three. Receiving gifts. Who likes receiving gifts? Raise your hand. Like when you receive a gift. All right, yeah, okay. Who likes Christmas time? Yeah, We typically get gifts on Christmas, right? It's normally a time we normally spend going out shopping, and we buy things for people. What's a great way to encourage someone, I tell you. Who's been encouraged when they got a gift before? Unknowingly, hey, you got a gift. I got encouraged by it. Yeah, me too. I got encouraged this week by a gift. I was like, what? Why? Wow, that's amazing. It really is. It's unexpected. It's a way to encourage somebody. It really is. And if it's their true love language, which it seems like more when people take the test, it's more on the low. And I think women like the gifts more. Us guys are like, oh, that's cool. That's all right. I mean, I don't need it, but that's all right. Women are just like, oh, you thought of me. They really like it, guys. Okay? You got to get it. You got to get that going on. All right, Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I know it says receiving gifts, but that's talking about the gifts that we're giving to people. And it's amazing that the Lord said this so specifically. It is better to give than to receive. So often in today's society, what is it about? It's about me, me, me. Get. I want. It's for me. And it's always talking about people. Do what you want. Do what makes you feel good. It's your life. That's typically our society. But really, it should be about how can I bless you? How can I build you up? What can I get you? I don't need anything. It's you that needs it. I mean, I want to love you so you feel loved and cherished. I want to get you things. There's so much to be learned from giving. The Lord says that we will be blessed when we give anyway. So actually, technically, it's a win-win, man. It really is. Now, I don't want to go that way because we want to stay humble about it. But the Lord says right here, Proverbs 22:9, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. God's going to bless us when we give to others. You know, not that we have to think that because it comes right back. I don't know where I have the verse, but it just says, don't do it out of like, I'm going to get rewarded. So yeah, I'll do it since I'm getting something out of it. We want to give to those because God calls us to give. And because it does encourage people. It really does. I mean, I've given gifts before and I just see people, they just light right up like a Christmas tree. It's so amazing. It really is. There's so many different organizations that we get in the mail all the time. We get Voice of the Martyrs, Samaritan's Purse, ACLJ, Food for the Hungry, Billy Graham, or Franklin Graham Ministries, things like that. There's other ways we've done giving to the church. Even now, this last week, we've had Operation Christmas Child. All of you guys have had the opportunity to grab a box, and you still have that opportunity. If you haven't, you can get them to Jess this week, or tomorrow. She's going to leave tomorrow morning. If you can't, you can always go online, and you can just go in there and be like, donate $7, send a box, and they'll fill it for you, and they'll send it. It's amazing, the things that, you know, that we can do to give. James 2:15-16. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, which a lot of these kids are for Operation Christmas Child, by the way, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Oh, I forgot my Bible. I was going to read a story. Does anybody have their Bible on you? Luke 10:25-35. That's what it is. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. I don't really need to read it, but I'd like to. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Who's all heard that story? Yeah, it's a really good story. Gentleman comes and he says, I want you to, he goes out of town and as he's traveling, he gets mugged. I'll share the whole story. It's really good. All right, Luke 10:25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him in and to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him, please," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." And so it's really cool. I mean, we kind of see that on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I just learned today that that's kind of what happened with Sean and his fiance Abby. I mean, she was in trouble. Her car broke down. He went and helped her out. He got a pretty good deal out of it because now they're going to get married. But in this story, like, we give so much. This opportunity is to help people all the time. This man was beaten and left for dead, but he gave what was necessary for his body. He needed help at that moment. And in the pit of where that man was at, left for dead, a Samaritan came by and even picked him up and helped him out. We can do that on a daily basis in so many ways. All right, number 4, we're getting closer. Acts of service is another love language and is another way to encourage one another. Christ is the perfect example of being a servant. And in Matthew 20:28, he says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So obviously we all know the ultimate service that Jesus did for us. He died on the cross. He gave his own life so that way we could have a relationship with him, put our faith in him, and have eternal life. That's the ultimatum. That's the most amazing gift he gave us. But he gave so many things, and all over in Scripture you'll see what he did for the disciples. He washed their feet. You know, he broke bread and ate with them. It talks over and over what Jesus did for his disciples. He came to serve and to be that example for us. We do many things here at the church, even how we serve people. We have Don't Just Go to Church, Be the Church. Has anybody been involved in an event like that? Cottonwood or Harvest? It's an awesome time. Our church has the opportunity to share with the community. If they have something that needs to be done, we help them. We serve them. We show them Christ's love by saying, "Hey, what we see, you need your windows washed. We're going to come over and, they obviously contact us and we say, we'll clean your windows for you. Absolutely. We'll be over on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. And sometimes we'll do it on a different day. DigiKey Cares. You know, we do a lot of different things at DigiKey. We support a lot of local businesses. We do fundraising for people in need as well. That might be cancer victims or other things like that, and we do fundraisers. And it's just, there's so many different ways, even as a church, we can do for people. We can serve people with acts of service, you know, in so many different ways. The Bible says that we should do all of our acts of service wholly for the glory of God. It says Acts 3:17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." We can bring so much encouragement by serving people humbly in love. How often do we see someone hurting or recognize there's something going on, or, you know, even in our daily life, you know, close, whether they're close, they're not close, but we're just kind of like, well, I just don't know if I have time to really serve them and help them and take care of them and talk to them about what's going on. And, you know, we really, as a church, as a Christian, as one serving Christ, we really need to be more of God's hands and feet. You know what I'm saying? We need to serve more. We need to say, "Hey, I see you're down. Is there a way I can help you? Or would it help if I did this?" You know, maybe there's a specific need that you see right off the bat. We need to serve more. Today, like I said, back what I said, with today's society, we were just all about us. We need to make it about others and serve them and show them Christ's love day to day, bringing in that vision of what Christ would want for the church, his love he has for the church. I'm running out of time, so I'll go real quick on the last point. Number 5, physical touch is a great way to encourage someone. Now, I have many verses. I won't read them all. We ran out of time. But it says all over Scripture, and I want to dive into this more because I found it when I was studying this. I found a lot of cool things, and we always do when we read Scripture. But I found the Lord laid his hands on dozens and dozens of people, probably hundreds. It doesn't probably say every single one. He would lay hands on people to heal them. In the Word of God, it says all over that he's laid hands on people. He'll lay hands on them, he'll pray for them to be healed, and they're healed. I'll read a couple of them. Mark 7:35, they brought this man to Jesus, one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay hands on him, and he was healed. And I've got many of them. I won't need to say them all. Now, in today's society, you can't really touch anyone unless then you're going to get legally sued, right? Well, in context, we can do that, though. In that sense of, can I pray for you? I see that you are dying of cancer, and I believe in a God that can heal you today. I want to lay hands on you and pray for you. And then you could share in a verse how Christ laid hands on those. His disciples did too. Men of faith all over in the Word of God laid hands on people and they were healed because they had faith. It wasn't just Jesus that healed people. It was people. You here today can heal people in Christ's name, with Christ's power. We can heal people through prayer because it's God that heals them, not us. Physical touch is amazing. You know, when it comes to putting your hand on someone, I remember someone put his hand on me and they prayed a prayer to heal me, and I was healed. Not instantly, but over time, I was healed, and I claim that. Like, it's amazing. A funny one, who's all seen the free hugs t-shirt, right? The free hugs, and so you're always kind of like, you know, like, what a weirdo, or like, I don't want to hug you, I don't know you, you know? It's great, but I give those guys, kudos to those guys. They're like, hey, man, I just want to love, you know? I mean, that's, Christ loves us, you know? I don't know what his, I mean, it could go either way, you don't know. I get to know the guy before I'd be like, yeah, let's do this. Back in the high school, I remember, like, you know, you just have fun with it, but yeah. It's really cool, though, but in a serious sense, I feel like hugs are really great. You know, that's one way we can encourage one another. Who all here has been hugged by a father, a mother, a grandparent, a spouse, a child, and felt encouraged by it? Yeah. Yeah. It's a great way to feel encouraged. And I feel like when my little kids come to me, they say, Dad, and I get down there and I just hug them, it's amazing the love that pours out within me. And I know a lot of us here do the same thing. Love. That love, you feel that encouragement. I feel so encouraged. I feel in love today because I love my little child, or my wife gives me a hug. Honey, I love you. And you hug her and you're just like, wow, I feel encouraged today because my wife loves me, or whatever it might be. But I encourage you to take that little step out as we're finishing up, you know, on this physical touch part, is just to love people more in a physical sense. Maybe, you know, at work it's a little different. Be like, hey man, nice job, or high five, yeah, nice job, or fist bump, pound it, you know. Those are encouraged. That's like a hug to me. When I'm at work, when I'm high five, it's like, oh yeah, totally. Yeah, let's have a great day. Let's do this. It's the same way. So we can do those things, acts of like physical touch, and totally be legal and amazing and encourage one another. I'll read this last verse and then I'll have the worship team come back up. In closing, encourage one another. Let's just do it. Let's get it done. People need encouragement. We're living in a life that, you know, wherever we're at, like, we know that the election just happened. You know, whether it's good or bad, whether you're like, yes, Trump, or oh, no, Hillary, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter because we have each other to encourage one another, whatever we go through, you know, whether it's good or bad. It's awesome because we have each other. We have God. We have that love. He's truly in control. We have nothing to worry about. Wherever we are headed, we know we're not eternal, you know, going to live on the earth forever. Our home's up there. We want to be encouraged today knowing that. In Romans 15:5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Worship team can come up. I'll pray, and then we'll close. Lord, I thank you so much for how much you encourage us. Lord, I thank you so much for everyone here today. I just pray that you would be with each person here and encourage them with where they're at, Lord. They might be in a tough place. They might be in a great place. Wherever they're at, Lord, I pray that you just reach down and encourage them where they're at. And with these five love languages that we went through today, Lord, I pray that they would explore those in their daily life, at work, at home, at work, at play. Wherever they're at, Lord, I pray that we would just grasp the idea that we need to encourage one another more every single day as we see the day approaching. Every single day, Lord, it seems like our world is kind of falling apart more and more here and there, or we're becoming more distracted more and more here and there with the things that we're doing, and you're just being left out of the picture, Lord. But I pray that each one here, that would bring you back into the picture, and that you would be glorified through it, that we could be encouraged to know that you love us, that you have eternal life for us through your Son, and that it's just an amazing life to live in all together, Lord. pray this in Jesus' name.